Hey, everybody, and welcome to The Whip Around with your hosts, Sean Hayes.
I smell like wind and leaves and children playing, and I don't like it.
God damn it, nobody gives me a straight answer on this fucking show.
Dave DiOrio.
Don't you stop me!
So to my question, you did.
This is my segment!
I am actually looking at Alton Brown's ambrosia recipe.
And me, Phil LaPorta. And I really fucking hate humanity as a general rule of thumb. President LaPorta, PhD. It's a current events podcast where nothing is sacred, so get ready for spoilers, get ready for some foul language, strap yourselves in, and welcome to The Whip Around.
And so, welcome everybody. So I guess first question is, rather as always, what's on everybody's mind? What are we all thinking about today?
Summer is unofficially over.
Is that right? I was arguing with my wife about that. That she said it was like a week and a half or 2 weeks left.
Well, I mean, like by science and specifically, it's the 22nd this year is the first day of fall.
It's unofficial. This is the unofficial end of summer.
What makes it unofficial? But what is that?
Well, just because everybody sort of colloquially agrees, we're back to school, so summer's over.
Which, why is that not the thing now? Why can't we just adjust that to be like summer's over? Everybody knows school is in session by now.
Well, I think if the seasons were a pie chart, then fall would get too big of a slice.
Hey, I'm fine with
fall
that.
Fall slice can never be too big.
Yeah.
frankly. Anything else, though? What else is going on with you guys? Phil?
I'm prepping for class. I'll be back officially on Wednesday. It'll be my first day teaching. 150 new students. And, not all new, because it's second semester physics, so a bunch of them come back to me. Okay. So that'll be fun.
All right. I was outside today. And I don't like that. I don't like it. And I smell like the outdoors right now because I was at a picnic. I mean, we had like a quote-unquote good time. We did.
Is what you would call indoorsy.
Yeah. I don't like doing things or going places. But that's where other people are sometimes. And so I did. So I feel good about myself or whatever. But my psychosis has left some marks. So I don't like how I smell. I smell like wind and leaves and children playing, and I don't like it.
So it was a social obligation that.
Well, here's the thing. Here's the thing. With some in-laws, we decided, hey, maybe we could all get together. And then the only time that would
that's
work.
That's a bad plan always.
Well, no, we like them. It was brother-in-law and sister-in-law for me. I mean, they were friends, you know, but it was kind of like, when would work? Saturday? Nope. Sunday? Nope. Monday? Oh, it works. And then it was, okay, so now anybody who doesn't get invited in the family to this hangout is going to be pissed. And so it turned into a thing.
This is why I don't tell anybody what I'm doing on any given day.
Phil, that was my plan, but I'm not going in alone. And so we had to invite other people, which, not that they're bad people. Right. But then they showed up. And so it became more of a fucking thing.
Because that is the sneaky thing. People will say like, so what are you doing on Monday?
Yeah.
And like if you're like nothing, it's like, great. Well, maybe you can come to this thing you don't want to do.
Exactly.
And then you have no excuse.
So I ended up outdoors.
And I have something that pissed me off this week now that he reminds me of that. But I'm going to save that just in case we need it.
Segment theft. Anyway, so I mean, I'm glad everyone's fine. Is anything else really lingering on your minds right now, aside from where we're going today?
Dave?
No, let's hit it.
All right. In that case, let's just give the audience a chance to take a breath or take a leak in between things.
We will be right back. Although it will feel like moments to us, it might be a minute and a half for you. We'll be right back on The Whip Around.
Hey, everybody, it's Phil from The Whip Around, and we'll be right back with the deep dive.
All right, thanks for sticking around. So, not to alarm anyone, but we might be a few dumb moves here in the United States and the Western Hemisphere and maybe the whole globe from the end of the world.
My bad.
What?
All right. One fewer dumb move.
I brought up a website and it started playing
the
video.
Was that the alarm? Oh, damn
it. Now we're that many fewer dumber moves from the end. But this past Sunday,
thanks, Dave.
Kim Jong-un's North Korea, if you'll excuse me sounding kind of like a Tom Brady's Patriots, Kim Jong-un's North Korea detonated what they're claiming. And what
they
everybody
need a season-ending injury.
What everybody... Now, they have a deep bench, dude. But what they're saying, and experts seem to agree, was a hydrogen bomb deep in the mountain tunnels of their not at all starving modern-day Sparta society. Experts are saying the yield of that weapon seems to have been way above the explosion that did in Nagasaki. And on detecting the massive disturbance in the Earth's crust, I don't know if you guys caught this, but seismologist and the nuclear weapon watchdog Stephen J. Gibbons tweeted what is now an infamous and uncharacteristic tweet for him. Oh, fuck.
Yeah.
And the world has had a battery of responses to this, but between Secretary of Defense Mattis vowing, quote, a massive military response should North Korea threaten the U.S. or any of its friends.
That was a while ago. Was that fresh? Did he renew that? Or
no, that was after it happened.
Okay, because he had said that a while ago.
No, he re-upped that.
Okay, just checking.
He freshened that up.
Thank goodness.
And then the President of the United States picking on South Korea for not being a warmongering nation of lunatics, and then pinching his tongue between his teeth while tweeting that North Korea only understands one thing.
Is it globally recognized now that North Korea has the capacity to detonate a hydrogen bomb on a ballistic?
Before we get to that point, that's where I was going to open this up, is basically how are we feeling based on the fact that there is some level of serious concern here.
And Dave starts with the question then.
Right, and some of the lines start connecting. So yeah, as Dave says, and maybe we turn this to Phil first, I don't know. Phil, from your understanding, from Dave, from all of our understanding combined.
Yeah.
I guess the first question is, you know, how realistic, but I want to take this down the road of end of the world in general as we can.
Fun and light for our listeners.
But yeah, seeking listeners for the end of the world.
Nicely done.
But thank you. But so how close are we to, let's say, North Korea being able to blow up things that we care about directly?
Okay. Well, I mean, now, just so everybody knows, because I know you guys have referred to my science background before, just so everybody knows, I do have a PhD in physics. So I'm probably a bit more qualified to talk about this than some people you'll see on the news. But just to be clear and full disclosure, you know, I've taken classes in nuclear and I understand the premises and the
nuclear
in nuclear. What did I say? The nuclear? Oh, crap.
No, it's just that strange presidential sounding.
Sorry,
I've taken classes in the nuclear.
In nuclear and particle physics, I have taken classes, and I do understand the basic operations of it. But like, I'm no way like a nuclear physicist. That's not my specialty. Just you know, full disclosure.
What a dummy you really are.
I know. I took the wrong. You know, had I known, boy, did I get into the wrong field. Right? The hell was I thinking doing optics? Dave, what was the question you had asked? Like, how realistic? How much?
I think my question was, has the world now recognized North Korea as a nuclear power? Like, when we list the countries that have nuclear capabilities, is North Korea now on that list?
I mean, I think undoubtedly we have to include them.
But what's the definition of what Dave's talking about? Because what we are not aware of, what people don't seem to have a consensus on, is can North Korea miniaturize a powerful nuclear device on an intercontinental ballistic missile and reliably shoot it at someone?
Here's kind of how I've been envisioning it. Like, you know how in a football game, if you're on the 10-yard line and there's a penalty and they say half the distance to the goal, mm-hmm. and then there's another penalty and it's half the distance to the goal. I feel like we keep doing that with North Korea. They keep getting half the distance to the goal.
Zeno's flag. Okay, right. Zeno's flag.
Is that the idea that if you're perpetually moving
halfway,
half
you never get anywhere?
Right.
Yeah, that was the joke.
Wouldn't that be nice if it was North Korea's always going
to
be
almost close there?
Half
the way
to
the goal.
Half the way to global annihilation.
Well, I mean, that speaks to a policy question to Dave. But to answer Dave's first question, I think that finally after this one, the size of the explosion, there's no doubt that it was nuclear. Whether it was a hydrogen bomb is another question, but we're pretty sure this one was nuclear based on a lot of the characteristics. How do you define nuclear power in terms of policy? I'm not 100% sure. I would think that it's someone who can reliably produce and has nuclear weapons. But here's the thing we don't know. They just detonated one. Do they have another? Are they in the middle of making another? Do they make one at a time and then we just don't know? Because we don't really know what their production capability is.
Although,
and that's
they
the
seem
difficult
to be ahead of where we keep expecting them to be.
That is true, which is also speaks to the question of, which comes back from when a couple weeks ago they slung a ICBM over Japan, right?
I love the image there. It has me picturing like Kim Jong-un with like one of those big like picnic day slingshots.
Yeah,
that, like,
basically.
Two generals are holding the ends and he's got like the ICBM and he's just pulling it down the middle while people are like...
They're doing like a hammer
throw. Exactly, yeah. Like people are throwing water balloons in the background and he's just like, move over!
To our dear listeners, if you can Photoshop that for us, we will put it up
please,
on the web. Please,
please
do that. Please.
Oh, yeah, fan art.
Yeah,
oh, we love fan art.
Bring
here.
It on.
Send it to thewhiparound@gmail.com.
That's thewhiparound@gmail.com for all of your favorite Kim Jong-un mockery memes.
That would be an amazing thing to become a repository of. But I mean,
for however briefly we'd be able to do it.
All of a sudden, the Lehigh Valley is a prime nuclear target for North Korea. Strange that they went after us first. And our two listeners. Our wives.
Hi, Mom.
Hi, Caroline. What was the question?
Well, you kind of answered it, I think, is, you know, are they?
It's
a mystery, just like the rest of that country. We know it's bad. We don't know how bad.
Yeah.
And then we're going to cut off all trade to everybody who trades with them, apparently, according to Trump, which
means...
That's
absurd.
Which is like a long list, and it would basically just put Walmart out of business.
Well, I was going to say, it would put the United States out of business in a lot of ways, because one of the few countries that trades with North Korea still is China, and they're one of our major trade partners.
But can I steer us somewhere here for a second?
Well, I don't know. Dave still might not
have
a question.
Dave, does that address your question of North Korea?
I think so.
I mean, do you have more North Korea stuff? Because I have something different, a little something else. About the same topic. Well, I'm wondering specifically like more about what the world would be like if bad things here come to pass.
I mean,
I'm really steering for like an Armageddon episode here with meaning. Okay. So and steer me back if I'm going too
far.
Dear
listeners, that's why I started before we turned on the microphones. That's why I was drinking already, because I knew this was going to be the topic.
Well, I'm just saying, okay, so I believe you.
I'm showing Dave.
Right. So, well, there could have been anything in there, Phil. Trust no one.
Well
anyway.
Do I look like Kim Jong-un to you?
Oh, man, I'm going to have to get a booze going by next break. So anyway, let me start small, all right? Let us say for a moment that tensions go badly and things get ugly, something goes wrong, and North Korea launches something on a par with what the hydrogen bomb thing, okay?
Okay.
They fire a missile, it has that capability, and they fire it, let's say, at Japan.
Okay.
All right, they fire it at Japan, knowing that they're all going to die now. But
hentai sales plummet.
So what is the world like now, Phil, when above ground, when in a major population center, this much larger nuclear explosion, let's just isolate it, though.
Sure.
One.
Right.
Right?
Okay.
Goes off.
Uh-huh.
Kaflooey. I remember growing up thinking
it doesn't
like,
sound like that.
I'm sorry. It would go boom.
That's more accurate.
But I grew up always thinking that like if a nuclear weapon goes off, like a big one,
yeah,
like the skies are black forever and
no,
the plants.
No.
Well, I was a child, Phil. But what happens? What is the world like from a livability stance? From just what does it seem? What happens? Kablamo. Nuke.
It's actually, number one, you finally nailed the sound of it.
I've been working at it.
Okay. Nuke. I mean, most of the problem ends up being, to my understanding, again, not a nuclear scientist, but most of the problem ends up being the immediate area, obviously.
Some people are going to really get hurt when that bomb hits them directly in the head.
That's an understatement, I suppose. I mean, the again, and now this also goes to the capability that they have, because, and you and I, we all talked about this briefly at some point during one of our test episodes, was, you know, what bombs can do, and one of the things that we might have a problem with is, let's say that explosion doesn't blow, it's not a complete fission. So in other words, all of the nuclear explosive material doesn't get used up to create an explosion. Let's say some of that material blows out of the bomb before it has a chance to fission, right? Because the way a nuke works, in brief, is you bring together big pieces of fissionable material, a chain reaction starts, and it gets out of hand. But that usually starts at the core of the fissionable material, which means as the explosion starts there, if it doesn't go fast enough, the outer layers of the fissionable material can blow away. And that's a problem because then you have radioactive material spreading. How far does it spread?
Is that along the same idea of a dirty bomb? Just a similar idea.
Similar idea. There's other problems with a dirty bomb.
I know.
But,
okay.
But similar idea. Assume that it's a full yield bomb, which everybody, even the experts, doubt that they have the ability to be that good. But if it's full yield, then the major issue is right there. It's not skies dark forever. There will throw up a dust cloud, but it's not going to like darken the skies.
But I'm saying, say that this thing happens there.
Yeah.
Here we are in northeastern Pennsylvania, or you know,
right.
Northeastern United States of America.
Sure.
Besides the seismologists who have their ear to the ground, is our life immediately impacted?
Not immediately. No.
By this event, and then by the hours or minutes or whatever, does anything occur? Assuming this is isolated.
Well, I mean, yes and no. I mean, of course, we'll say it's isolated. Let's say it's a one-spot strike, right?
Yeah.
That area is affected. You'll see larger effects sort of concentrically radiating out, forgive the phrasing. The biggest problem is, let's say there's any of that fissionable material that scatters. That's fallout, by definition.
Yeah.
Right? And Is Dave playing Fallout while we're talking?
I was just going to ask. I was actually going to ask when a nuclear bomb is launched, where does it detonate? Does it wait until impact to detonate, or is it something?
It depends on how well you design it. You want it to explode above. It's not an on-impact thing.
Otherwise, a lot of the explosion goes like down. And
yeah, it's kind of muffled, if you will.
Yeah. So if it blows up above, it is. And that's what happened in Hiroshima,
better.
Right? It blew up above the way it was supposed to,
right.
And it was a huge column.
Yeah.
Instead of sort of.
Yeah.
Right. Okay.
Exactly.
So, but I wonder how high up. Do you know? Miles?
I couldn't tell. No, it's not miles. It's under a mile, I would imagine.
Okay.
But I couldn't tell you, honestly.
So no one is likely, if things go well, to get hit in the head with like a fat man.
No, it's not going to land on you.
Kaboom.
We can prove this was the first guy hit by this nuke,
right.
Because you can see he's actually flattened, not burned.
Right. Claude Nesmith's skull was ground zero of the end of the world.
Claude Nesmith, amazingly, living in northern Japan.
Which, by the way, hey, Claude Nesmith.
If we have a listener named Claude
Expatriate
Nesmith.
Expatriate Claude Nesmith living in Japan is just like, I fucking hate this show. So, all right.
Let me finish the thought.
What I was going to say. Is
the
there
big
more
problem
to...
would be like if there was scattered nuclear stuff, it's scattering and getting picked up on
now,
the jet
nuclear
stream.
Nuclear stuff, that's a technical industry term.
Yeah, industry term.
Okay.
Nuclear stuff, the fallout, the radioactive bits being scattered by the wind like in the jet stream. So you could carry that around. It's just the further and further you carry it, the less and less concentrated it is, the less and less of a problem it becomes.
Okay.
So it's not like if it lands in Japan, the effect here in the Northeast would be minimal. The effect in Guam would, you know, and any islands to the east would be more and then less as you go further and further eastward from there.
Okay. So let me.
It could get a slightly irradiated, could cause some problems, but nothing like immediately fatal.
Now, I'd like to chuck another question at you, Phil, and then
let Dave ask a question.
Well, I was going to say, but I definitely want to angle this back toward Dave when it moves towards some potential of what could really happen. But Dave, do you have a burning question before I up the stakes on Phil?
Well, I guess my question would be, what can a person do if there is a nuclear bomb that is being sent to their country, area, state, region? What can that person do aside from get as far away from as far away as possible?
Well, I think it depends if it's in your estate or region or country.
Well, I think you said state, and it was just a glitch.
Oh, like, I like estate. So, if
what if at my palazzo a nuclear bomb goes off above the rose garden?
Can I kiss your royal ass?
So you get the air raid alert, right, Dave? Is what you're saying? Like, now, what do I do?
Yes.
I mean, the best. Yes. I
convert.
Hope you pick the right religion if that's a thing.
Now, is there? I was going to ask this later too. Like survivability of a
limited
nuclear
depends on the
bomb.
It depends on where you are. Largely, it really does. It largely depends on where you are. And
well, let's do this. Let's do this.
Oh,
how about let's say Pennsylvania?
Like where?
Let us say that Philadelphia is about to get hit with a nuclear bomb.
And now for the record, Dave is way closer to Philadelphia,
yeah,
than we are.
Right.
We're about Dave, by the way, in case you couldn't tell, phones in all the time. And so he is Dave, how far are you from Philly?
I'm about 13 miles.
Yeah, you're fucked. Is the scientific term is the
goner.
The scientific term is fucked.
But let's say that that is going to happen. The kind of bomb that they detonated in under the Korean is going to go off in Philly at 8 o'clock p.m. tonight.
Right.
Right. Now, as far as what anyone in the middle of Philadelphia can do, nothing.
Pretty much. Right? I mean, the best you
if
can hope for.
If they find out right now the missile's on its way.
The best you can always hope for is to get underground. That's always the best you can hope for.
Now, define that for what's about to happen to them.
I mean, you know, really.
How many miles?
Honestly, and again, it's a weird, like, it depends. I mean, they're, you know, they're
I will pin you down to this.
I know, but it's true. It really does depend. I mean, there are tests with there have been nuclear tests where.
What about most regular people's access to life and whatever?
I mean.
So, like, popping a manhole cover and get down there? How would that do?
Depends on how deep the sewer is. Like, you want to get as far down as you can. That's the basic answer.
All right, but again, for basic people on the street in the middle of Philly, they're all gone.
Dave, how deep is your basement?
It's about, I don't know, 10 feet deep.
Okay, so it's fully underground, as opposed to, like, the Hayes residence where we are, where it's, like, half exposed, sort of?
Yeah.
My basement's totally underground.
Okay, because it's built into a hill, Sean's house, so there's, like, an open face, if you will.
Don't give him any more clues. I don't need a nuclear bomb coming off here.
Dave's basement would offer, I think, a little bit more protection for us. I mean,
you didn't let me get there yet. So in the middle of Philly, they're screwed. Around the outer rim,
the burbs.
Yeah, the people in basements might survive.
Initial
blast.
Well, that's the thing. And when you talk about surviving the blast, you can be in the basement and avoid the wave. But
now
is your house going to fall on your head?
Right.
That's a different concern.
So now let's expand that in the moments to like where we are, which is maybe like 45 minutes.
We'll feel the shock.
We'll
feel the rumble, right?
Under our feet, things shake. Like
yeah,
the
definitely.
Walls shake,
definitely.
Stuff like that.
We won't get hit with a blast wave. We're way too far away from that.
But we'll feel a rumble.
Oh, definitely.
I like that. Now it's a definite. We will. Yeah. Sorry, Dave. Bye.
Yeah, Dave's boned.
So we feel a rumble.
You'll see it, probably. You'll probably see a flash in the distance. I mean, we're kind of far away from Philly, but if we did it at night...
There's a lightning strike type of visual, like a boop.
You'd probably see the flash travel, yeah.
Okay.
I mean, it wouldn't be a lightning strike. It would be a bright flash and then a glow.
Ooh.
As the city lit up and burst into flames.
I mean, no offense, Philly. Sorry, but ooh. All right, now.
Hey, can we go back into the core for a second? So what's the vaporized zone? Like, what's the
depends on
incineration?
The size, depends on the size of the bomb. I mean, are you
Let's
talking
say
incineration
it's this
for
hydrogen
people?
Hydrogen bomb that's like 100, 200, whatever
Shit.
Kiloton payload.
Honestly, a couple miles, maybe. 5 miles tops only.
So Center City, Philadelphia.
Five
if
miles.
That's the aim. Is
people.
Like the
people. Not necessarily all buildings, but people, organics are fried within 5 miles, probably of a thing that size.
Okay.
I would. No, that's
shadows burnt into the ground.
That might
thing.
Be a little bit too much. Even it might be a 1, 2, 3 mile thing.
Yeah, let's not get greedy, huh?
Well, I'm just trying to remember my. Oh goddamn! Why didn't I bring that textbook?
Which is a good question, though. But what Dave is saying, I guess, within 3 to 5 miles, can we say that are like that is
I would say
now...
less than three is ashen people outside, maybe survivors in the basement, but heavily irradiated and mostly destruction.
Boss level radiation down there too, probably.
Yeah, you don't. Yeah. So you don't want to go down there without the blue armor.
What about at what point is there like, oh, they're fine. Those people will be okay. How far away from Philly do we have to be before it's like this is just bad news? For
10 miles and upwind.
Okay.
Right. I would say 10 miles and upwind, maybe even more to be totally safe. But it depends on which way the wind is blowing in a lot of cases, too. Because, again, if you have that irradiated material and you inhale it, you're inhaling radioactive particles. It could give you a dose of radiation, could give you radiation sickness.
Mm-hmm.
And inhale and ingest it in enough, it could be a lethal dose.
And then the survivability rates are different over time.
Yes.
But now can I shift us then onto the next level of this discussion?
Are you, Dave, are you sufficiently believing that you are fucked?
Have we made that plain enough?
I don't know. I could beat the odds. Yeah, I'm screwed.
Okay.
Listen, you got a good basement. If it's like, you know, brick walls, there you go.
But let me do this though, okay?
Looking, I'm looking at radiation suits right now on like Amazon.
How's
so, hold on.
Order a 3-pack, just in case.
I'm just going to plow ahead here.
Well, there's four people in my family, man.
I was thinking about the three of us, asshole.
Get your priorities straight, Dave. Podcast before hoes. Now, Phil, give me an idea of what would have to happen for skies darkened.
Oh, jeez. No, there's
global altering. Is that something where, okay, so let's say North Korea and the United States volley nuclear weapons back and forth.
No, it's still not going to.
I'm wondering. Here's my thing. Let me ask it the way that I planned that.
Go ahead.
And Dave can maybe now link up with my logic. At what point do we get to, like, Cormac McCarthy, Bethesda video game, the world is different, Mad Max.
Ashes always, yeah. Raining ashes in the air.
How do we get to beyond, how do we get Thunderdome?
It would take a lot more area being nuked. It would take a lot bigger nukes. Like, it would take a
bigger
lot.
Bigger than what we're hearing about, what we have? Because, well, you know, the United States is, like,
we
to
have
the gills,
way
right?
more. Oh, yeah, I'm aware.
Phil, I don't know if you knew that.
Yeah.
We have many bombs.
I teach my kids how to make them in the first 3 weeks of class. Something I look forward to, kids.
150 new students you've got?
Yeah, 150 new potential dangerous people.
How much are those in suits, Dave? Those radiation suits.
What's that? How much are the? Well, they vary. I mean, it looks like.
God damn it. Nobody gives me a straight answer on this fucking show.
Don't cheap out, Dave.
At least
don't
like
cheap out.
$300.
Oh, I mean,
probably garbage.
What's like the, you know, the A-list platinum edition Enviro suit? And save the link. I need to post this link in the show notes. How much, Dave?
This one is deluxe. Saint Gobain one suit, shield protective level B suit with one gloves.
No. You got to pre-order this world to get that bonus. Like that, you don't get that.
You have to get that shit from GameStop.
But I don't know. I can't tell here. Oh, no. Okay, here you go. This is the DuPont Tychem TK Fully. That's 2,127. That looks more what you're going to need. So that's like the full, you know.
It's not going to protect you if you're still in that
big mask thing. The ET style.
The vapor zone.
Yeah, but the Marty McFly.
Yeah, that's
futuristic Darth Vader suit. Okay.
Yeah, that's that one. That's the $2,100.
But going back then, Phil. So what would it take to alter? I'm going to take that bell. What would it take to alter the Earth in such a way that it is less survivable in general?
I genuinely do not know. That is a question also for a biologist, more than a physicist, to a point. I'll be honest, I'm not 100% certain.
Okay.
It would take more than one. Let me put it this way. I mean, obviously.
An exchange, right? Which is what I was wondering, to elevate this from a limited to a full-blown.
Well, think about it this way. I mean, two bombs were dropped in the span of 6 days, was it?
In 45.
Yeah. Yep. Right, and that didn't do a whole lot. Now, of course, you have
perspective.
But I'm talking about the global. Yes, I'm aware that it did quite a lot.
There's Holocaust deniers, and then there's nuclear weapon deniers.
I'm a nuclear weapon ambivalent, I guess.
Okay,
that's fun. Thanks, Dave, for posting the link.
Oh yeah, no problem.
That'll be in the show notes,
and it will not be left unedited.
Honestly, it would take an exchange. It would take a lot more than the one that North Korea just.
But give me your scenario, though. I guess what I'm asking, Phil, let me ask you this.
It would take multiple locations. That's the other thing.
Can you do me a favor?
Yeah.
End the world for us.
Oh shit.
Can you please end the world for
Did
us?
I seem too happy about that.
Right, Dave? Wouldn't you like to hear Phil, the physicist, end the world?
I mean,
it's going to be great, and I just want to hear how unrealistic this will be so I can sleep easier at night.
Oh, good.
End the world for us, Phil.
Listen, it would take...
Nuclear weapons.
Nuclear weapon
the world.
Okay,
please.
Because it would take an escalation of things, number one. Like, it wouldn't just be... Even if North Korea throws one of those exact same things they just detonated at us, a global change in
I don't
shit,
care about right? any of this. I want my nightmare scenario, and I want it now.
It's probably going to take...
Make me give up.
Somewhere around... I'm going to say conservative.
Do it, Phil. Do it.
Now, here's the trick.
Kill us all, Phil.
Kill us.
Here's the trick. It would take... Remember, you can't just spread them in one area. You got to spread them around to really have maximum impact. if you, I'm just saying, let's launch the size that North Korea has, or that we assume they have more of, right?
Okay.
Put them in the right places. 20, 15, 15.
15 high payload,
like they have
nuclear weapons strategically sort of spread out with the, because here we could, let's just say,
I mean, to get the fallout where you want it to
and,
go.
Well, let me give you this to, so that you feel more comfortable, maybe.
Wait. To get the fallout where we want to get the maximum, like, fatalities, and, you know, you probably need about 15 North Korea size ones in strategic locations that the fallout would be blown by the jet
trade
stream
winds
and the trade winds around to the right places. So, you know.
So if a death cult member somehow took over Washington or something and said, it's time to bring about the end of the planet, 15 to 20, mapped out correctly, does what? Describe the world when that happens.
It's a slow, agonizing death, because most of us won't die from the blast. Most of us will die from fallout and radiation poisoning, which basically makes you...
Over the course of...
Depends on a lot of conditions over the course of weeks, months, years.
Okay.
Years at best. You know, you're looking at losing hair, being consistently sick, your body breaking down slowly bit by bit.
Yeah, this is what I wanted to hear about.
There you go. Yeah.
But short of what you're describing, we're going to be okay.
Probably.
Unless
I mean, define okay,
nuked
I guess.
In the head. Well, I'm saying, like, if a nuclear explosion goes off, whether it is North Korea or whether India and
Pakistan
just can't
go at it,
right? If they get
or India and China, by
Trump-y
the way, for
so
those of you who
multiple
are attention.
Countries would probably have to decide that we want to end.
Like, I'd
life
rather
on the planet.
Right?
Yeah.
I'd rather
or,
die
or multiple.
If I can't have the globe, nobody can.
Right,
Serpentor style.
It would take a hell of a lot of spread to really make it uninhabitable, most people dying from radiation poisoning.
Rapid spread.
Yeah.
So Phil, what would happen to, like, the environment? Would the sun still be shining? And...
Oh, no, the sun is not affected by what we do on this
well,
fucking
but do you see it from Earth?
The sun doesn't give a shit about
no,
us.
No, Phil, but can we see the sun? Is it blackened? Is the sky...
I mean,
the sackcloth skies?
I mean, the sky...
I want my sackcloth.
With the rain, what kind of acid rain would it be like? Ah, I can't be outside in the rain. It's
yeah.
melting
well, number,
my flesh.
Well, number one, you don't want to be outside anyway. But I mean,
fucking A, I don't.
Yeah, well, you don't want to be anyway. Sean is well practiced for this scenario.
I'm going to survive because I'll be like, I'm not going to even try to look.
I need it outside. Don't worry. Wait, where were we going? Oh, black in the sky.
Yeah, what's it like out there?
I mean,
describe the scene.
Let me
outside.
Put it this: well, let's say they all went off at the same time and it wasn't like spread out sequentially, right?
Awesome. Okay. Yeah.
I mean, you're going to get a lot of dust kick up with that much. Yeah, you might see gray skies. It might look like dusk all the time when it's daylight. And then, you know, so night looks like night because it's dark anyway.
You know,
all cats are gray in the dark,
that's
right?
That's right.
But
is it you'll smell like
burning
something
flesh?
Terrible? I guess we're all hoping for some kind of Judgment Day scenario where it's just... You know, and I'm thinking biblical versus James Cameron, but, you know, something,
I mean,
some visuals here.
I mean, okay, so bombs go off, everything's bright, and, you know, when you're close to it, and people get vaporized, and then there's a lot of dust thrown up, you know, in the area. It will actually cool the global temperature for a while, because if you throw up that much dust
it's
at
dark
once.
And...
Well, yeah, and then the dust cloud reflects a little bit of the sunlight.
Yeah.
So, I mean, this is a
solve global warming there short term.
It's a bad choice, but sure, why
hey,
not, right?
Do you I want mean, it or not?
Right, fix it. I mean, you get that effect, the nuclear winter, if you will. So the winter will be much colder, much snowier. I mean, that's about, you know, and again, radiation poisoning is going to sicken people. People die off. There may be pockets that are less affected than others, but eventually everybody kind of gets sick and dies from radiation poisoning.
But, like, crops are done. Is that what you're saying? Like, basically, like, as
well,
far as
crops,
harvesting and going to the store, that shit's over.
Crops suffer because you take away their sunlight, mostly.
But I'm saying, like, you know, are we going to lose vegetation
I don't think
immediately?
There would be I don't think you'd get the moon turning to blood in the skies as black as sackcloth. I don't
well,
think
this is boring, then.
I don't think you're going to get that. I think you'll have a lot of level of crop die-off, but you won't have, like, immediate... You know,
okay.
Everything goes away.
All right, let's get this more awful. Phil,
sure, go ahead.
Thank
so
you.
What would the most excruciatingly slow, awful way to die from radiation poisoning be?
I mean, there's only one way
like,
to die
from... What happens
to
you? Like, what happens to you?
Well, there's only one way to die from radiation. Well, here, let me describe this. So the thing is, your cells are dividing right now. yours are, every listener is. You know, we have ourselves dividing, mm-hmm. and they keep making copies of each other. And when they're exposed to radiation, they make the copies wrong.
They get the radiation like passes through the cell wall, right, and bounces.
Because radiation's
and
very powerful, it knocks the DNA out of whack.
That's it.
And so all of a sudden,
so how unrealistic is The Hills Have Eyes?
I have never seen it.
Sorry, guys. The ghouls in Fallout.
Nope, never played it.
These sort of monstrous, they're twisted monstrous mutants.
Oh, way unreal.
Roaming the earth.
Super fucking unrealistic.
Okay.
Sorry. Because you know what it is? Because you're going to die before that happens.
No, it's totally fine that that's not real.
Sorry.
God damn.
Sorry,
I'll be perfectly honest with you. The darkest part of me is bummed that it's like, so the nightmare scenario even itself is kind of banal.
Yeah.
It's kind of like,
we all
suck
die.
And then you die.
Because the truth
that's real life.
Well, because the truth of the matter is this, and it's when it comes to radiation poisoning, you just die off slowly. And if you get enough to make mutations, you don't end up like the X-Men. You just end up dying.
You just die.
Yeah,
because
your liver isn't
a bad looking corpse.
Yeah, because your liver or your stomach isn't reproducing its cells correctly, so it stops functioning and you die.
Okay, can I ask something about this then?
Sure.
As far as all this going on, let's just assume still, okay?
Sure.
Worst case scenario, multiple nation, psycho bombs going off everywhere,
go ahead.
Whatever.
Go on.
If Dave's okay with this too, and because you mentioned this very term today, Dave, the doomsday prepper community.
Oh, yeah.
How likely are these bunkers, and I'm talking everything from, maybe we can discuss the gamut here, from basically underground silos just below the surface with like stovepipes sticking up for air, all the way down to the sort of lunatic fringe.
From the Shire to the really crazy people.
Yeah, like of like skyscrapers going down with like cement walls and
those will
underground
be okay.
Cisterns and stuff like that.
Those will be okay.
Which are not what most doomsday preppers are doing.
No, normally they're not that thorough.
They have little eggs underground or like little RVs that are sort of backed into a hill. But how likely is that to help? Or if you'd rather,
it'll prolong it.
What should someone do to effectively doomsday prep?
Put your head between your knees and kiss your ass goodbye. I mean, here, let me answer the first question first. I mean, if it's just anything underground is going to help, number one. Number two, anything deep underground is going to help more. It's going to prolong the inevitable because depending on what happens to the food sources, you're going to run out eventually. And even if you're safe from the radiation, let's say you have enough food to last a year, like the dust settles literally and figuratively, you come out of your bunker, you got to get food. And Walmart hasn't been stocked, folks. So you've either got to grow your own, find your own.
Hydroponics, I think, is what a lot of these people lean on.
Yeah, but
or plan to lean on.
Well, yeah, but I mean, again, and now I'm not a botanist, so I couldn't tell you things that I'm not is what this episode is.
Science that Phil can't do.
I love that you lean on me. You're like, we're going to, in the pre-show, just so everybody knows, like, we might lean on you for some science, Phil. And it's all shit that I don't know. It's like, okay, that's.
It's just like rapid fire Phil questions.
Yeah, man. Yeah,
I'm fine with handling it.
Do either of you, while we're on this subject, know a lot about the United States, like, missile defense program?
A little bit.
I know there's, like, three stages of it.
Depends
right?
on what you're talking about.
Well, there's like there's THAAD, whatever.
THAAD.
Then there's the sort of mid-range something that gets telemetry info from THAAD win or lose. And then there's some kind of Patriot battery of missiles, somethings much closer to us.
That's
going to
work because America. Yeah.
And is there any danger in shooting a nuclear missile out of the air?
Ah,
there's
awesome
some, right?
Question.
The idea is to blow
awesome
it up
question.
Without activating it.
Exactly.
Right?
Now, it's way worse to have it detonate and whack a city, right?
It sounds,
technical
depending
term.
On the city.
Technical term.
Maybe not if it's like, I don't know. Camden.
I have to drive through there on my way to work. Shut up.
Yeah, well, imagine if it was all open space.
The traffic would be less.
Yeah.
There is a danger because you do. I mean, think you're scattering nuclear material around. You're scattering radioactive
Which I'm
hitting
the city
material.
Now is what you're saying, right? Or are you just saying hitting it in the middle of the air?
Well, I mean, hit it wherever you can. It's still better than letting it detonate,
mm-hmm.
right?
Sure. Yeah.
I mean, there's a danger, yeah. I mean, it's the much lesser of two evils in that situation.
Okay. Mm. So now, As far as those, am I right? Are we? Am I missing a step that we have that the mid-range step and the last ditch effort step?
This is the thing. Yeah, we have all those missile defenses, but you know,
they call it shooting a bullet with another bullet.
It is in a lot of ways, and it's iffy at best, and it's also expensive to take a shot. Basically,
well, I mean, you can tax me all you want if you keep me from getting nuked. But, that's, you know,
fair
like,
point.
Hold on a second. Let me check the bill on this. All right, go.
You don't set the budget, Sean.
I don't understand the budget. I don't think about that stuff.
It's better, but all the and it's better than nothing. Yeah, there's a danger, but I mean, you know, sure, if it's coming at us, take all the shots you want. But it's going to scatter a little bit of nuclear material. But I mean, better that than, you know, it would just suck if it was over the shore. And some kid picked up the piece of like, Daddy, Daddy, a warm glowing rock. Oh, you're fucked, kid.
That reminds me of the end of that movie.
A Christmas Story?
No. Song of
the South?
Bandits. Remember Time Bandits, Dave?
Oh, yeah.
The dwarves. And like the evil one dies or whatever at the end. And then there's like a piece of him in the microwave or something. There's this like evil chunk. And the kid picks up and they're like, no. Or like somebody picks it up and instantly dies.
Movies Phil doesn't know today.
Because that's, oh my, you got to see Time Bandits. It's Sean Connery's best work. And the greatest.
That's a lie. Zardoz was his best work.
You really haven't seen Time Bandits.
You haven't seen him in that thong.
I saw Zardoz, okay, punk.
Just making sure.
But anyway.
Sean Connery in a thong.
It's got a great sequence of drugging a giant, which you've got to see. So let me turn to Dave, though, for a second, if I may.
Please, Dave, break.
Are you ready? Are you ready, Dave? Now, I think you probably, and I don't know, I don't mean to be unfair to anybody here, you're probably the most politically savvy person in the group.
Really?
I think so. I think you tend to be the most like, look, I know about the issue. I don't know. Maybe I'm wrong, but I don't think I am.
I hope you're wrong.
Let's just shift this for a second to you.
Yeah.
What would Dave DiIorio do if he was president of the United States and people turned to him and said, we got to do something about North Korea? I just wanted to take a time out to ask you, because I've wanted to ask you this.
Yeah.
What do you do? What does Dave do in his administration about North Korea?
And this is one of
It really is one of those impossible riddles
yeah.
to solve. So
if I could be dorky, it's sanctions. In Star Trek, it's the Kobayashi Maru. It's the unwinnable scenario.
I don't know what that means.
Ah, come on.
Damn it.
All right, well,
hey,
go ahead.
I finally knew a movie.
You think sanctions, right? And there's just all this talk of sanctioning countries that are, you know, in trade with North Korea.
Yeah.
But the thing about sanctions is, who are you ultimately affecting? You would really be just affecting the people of that country, because
Kim Jong-un's not going to go hungry.
Yeah, his regime is not. They're not like, oh, now we're starving. But the people are the ones
clearly
that are really going to feel it. And and what that's going to do is really make them sort of rally around where they are getting help, which is going to be from that regime. So you're really not doing any favors with all of these sanctions. And I mean, militarily, you have lots of problems, especially with a country like Seoul being, or a country like South Korea being so close to North Korea, as their name indicates.
Because they don't have to hit us.
Yeah, right.
They just have to
hit
an ally. And that's dangerous.
Yeah. So, I mean, what I would do.
Yeah, here we go. I wish I had a music cue here. I'll put one in.
Okay, when we talked about this briefly before, I talked about getting unilateral, like, coalition, like a world consensus that this needs to happen, which would all be good.
Yeah, sure.
What really needs to happen, and I have no idea the feasibility of this. You said I was the most politically savvy, and I don't know. Somehow,
well, who know, who's out listen, there going like, I'm telling you.
Look, dude, it's definitely
so here's, not here's me. What, here's what I would ultimately like to happen, and China would never let this go down, but take the regime out one way or another somehow. I don't know how. I don't know if it's
why did I elect you for you to tell me you don't know?
No, stop. So I want a regime change and basically give the country to South Korea and be like, now you're just Korea.
Oh, well, now I see why you're saying China. I get why you're saying like China wouldn't be like, oh, good idea.
Once again,
exactly,
good
exactly,
thinking,
exactly.
President DiIorio. We are totally behind this.
And once again, Sean, to Sean's point, their bench is pretty deep over there.
Yeah,
unfortunately.
But okay. So let me ask you this then, Dave.
Deep bench.
Given the choice, if someone came to you as president and said, okay, Don't ask me how, but right now there is a 55% chance of success on a mission that would go in and covertly assassinate Kim Jong-un and his highest ranking generals, right? And they'd be able to, I know this is unrealistic-ish, it would be enough to freeze the trigger finger on North Korea. It would freeze them enough for a small force that we're coordinating with to go in and effect regime change. 55% chance of success that we could make this all go away.
So why'd you pick 50?
No, that's too low of a risk, I would think.
How high would it have to go for you, Dave?
You have to be in the 90s for something, for a move like that.
Listen, that's the ideal scenario.
Remember how things are playing out right now as I'm asking, right?
I know.
I'm just saying.
I mean,
things aren't great.
I agree with Dave. I'm not gonna go in on a coin flip, because if you make that attempt and you miss, they're retaliating, and you're either gonna get it's a super fast escalation to them.
Yeah, but I just heard from you,
Seoul,
Phil, that we're gonna maybe be we'll still have crops in Walmart.
But it's like if you're playing poker with rational type poker players,
there's
you can kind of predict
guy.
Their moves. So right. You know. He's not like Kim Jong-un is not going to, if he's rational, he's not going to launch a nuclear weapon, because that would essentially end his regime. There's no way
they're
could survive something like
pretty
that.
Bad.
But right. When you play poker with maniacs and you have no idea what they're going to do, which it kind of seems like we're doing now.
I don't know.
Somebody goes in with a 2 and a 3.
But is it maniacs that we're dealing with, though? Or is it people who play cards like a bunch of assholes, but they actually know what they're doing? But it's like, you don't have to go all in every fucking, but they have a strategy. You know what I'm saying?
I'm not sure. How did he obtain this power?
His daddy died.
How did
he
come into, what's that?
His dad died.
Yeah.
Exactly. His dad died. It wasn't his craftiness and his.
True.
You know,
but I feel,
abilities to get where he's at.
Point taken. But so far, it all seems pretty calculated, rather than like, hey, we nuked Guam. What are you going to do now? You know? But everybody says deterrence works until they don't.
I want a place at the table. I want a place at the table. I want a place at the table.
Okay. But so your action, though, going back, though, your action so far is to look, if you're president, is to be actively looking, at least, for opportunities to affect regime change. You're just not sure how you would go about it. That would be your focus, though.
I think so. Yeah.
Not allowing them a seat at that table permanently.
No.
Okay. Phil? Same, let's go way back, the same question. You're President Laporta, right?
President Dr.
Now you know
Laporta,
political President Dr. Laporta. I feel like it should be Dr. President Laporta, but whatever.
President Laporta, PhD.
So let's say it happens, right? And you inherit exactly what we've got. Never mind the secret briefing that I gave Dave, the dossier that Dave turned down, okay?
Yeah.
But what is your strategy on North Korea?
I mean, there's no good overt option.
Yeah, they're all, it's bad,
like,
and worse.
Any overt option is bad. Like, you put a bunch of fleet there to say we're going to intercept, our interceptors are a coin toss, like we were just talking about. Mm-hmm. So that's not necessarily great, because let's say you send them there, you provoke them, it's a coin toss. That's a problem, because if you miss, that's super emboldening for them and you look like an asshole.
We're America.
Yeah, well, we're good at
looking
that.
Like an asshole is kind of our thing.
Our stock and trade.
We're kind of cool that way.
You can make a preemptive strike, but if you miss the regime, again, on a 50-50 chance, they retaliate, that's a problem. And the other thing would be,
what do you do?
The other obvious option.
Don't you run from me.
I'm not, trust me. The other obvious option is just boots on the ground, and that could be a problem.
Oh,
because
Jesus.
That's a problem, right? Because those are the three obvious options, unfortunately.
Well, what if we...
Sean's hypothetical is my choice.
Whoa, hold on.
What if...
He's taking my coin flip.
What's that?
So you would say I'm gonna
work the sniper option until I can get it high enough percentage. It's like, we got them 80%. Let's do this. All right, sure, go.
So you're doing all kinds of that prep on SEAL team, whatever now.
SEAL team 5, 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, and 6, all of them in.
We have the same answer, Phil. That's
Listen,
my answer
I think
too.
I think that's the only.
And I know it's that's probably why I'm never.
But I mean,
be president
I wanna. But I mean, it's got to be. Really certain, because if you miss that,
but
I mean,
you gotta really do it right.
You gotta be like, he's in that fucking building. We can hit it now.
Right, right. So, Dave, what were you saying, though? What was your
curveball? I was going to say, what if we bomb the ability to launch nuclear weapons?
I've seen some people that's saying that it's one unlikely that we ever could. That's well, what I'm reading about.
It's one of those things where, are we sure it's there? Do you miss?
And do you leave one? Because if you do...
Same problem.
Now we're back to where we started, I guess.
But what if you did hit them all? What if you did hit them all? What would the ramifications be? Would they march on Seoul?
They would fire that artillery.
Well, they would
right?
fire
that's
as
their,
much
their hair trigger on that artillery at Seoul.
Basically,
millions dead. Boom.
It's like me getting into a fight with someone, but then pointing a gun at Sean, and it's like, you try and fuck with me, I'll kill him. And it's like, all right, well, don't hurt my friend.
Yeah,
right.
That's the problem.
Right. Don't do that to me though, because.
So we all kind of had the same answer.
No, we didn't.
Dice a little earlier.
That's okay. Yeah, that's true. Yeah, Phil and I are. See, Dave, you're the most political savvy, because Phil and I are a little ready to shoot somebody, and that is the heart of a conservative. Just let me be sure before I kill somebody. While you liberals are like, look, I'm a dreamer. Okay, we can kill this guy, and my multiracial. Non-binary crew is going to go in there and shoot whatever pronoun he's comfortable with in his who knows what's their crotch. Quote unquote.
What if we told Trump this was a possibility, but the only one like highly trained enough to really pull this off was like a transgender
Mexican immigrant illegal
transgender. Mexican
transgender
sniper. I love it.
Well, that is his nightmare scenario right there.
Who voted for crooked Hillary.
Going to make this guy a hero.
Right.
Do it.
Do we make him a hero?
And they're studying journalism. Are we ready for one more gear change here as far as Armageddon?
Oh, sure. I thought that was a solid stopping point. But yeah, let's go ahead.
I can save it and just do one question after the break if you want.
No, that's all right. Go
okay.
for it.
Okay. So the most popular outside of real life, the most popular doomsday scenario that TV ratings tell us that people think about. Do you know where I'm going with this?
Go ahead.
You know where I'm going with this, Dave, right?
Zombies.
Now.
No fucking way.
Conventionally, we all know there is no way. But can you maybe talk to us from your own understanding about the feasibility of any kind of super bug, right? Because the viral thing now tends to be the zombie vector. Everyone talks that's actually a virus, right?
Yeah, sure.
What are your thoughts about a super bug wiping out enough of civilization that we're in a doomsday type scenario?
Number one,
Captain Trips,
right?
Wait, what?
Stephen King.
Nope.
It's a stand. That's what's going on in the stand, which reduces humanity in such a way that, well, don't worry about it. Super flu, super bug, super illness, something, flu.
That's my second favorite, my second favorite bet for what's going to end the world. Is a super bug. I mean, the first
that was
like,
gonna be my concluding question to you was like, how are we gonna all die?
But, I'm sorry to steal your thunder.
No.
Well, we can edit that out. And so it's number one, zombies. No, that's just not.
Well,
no,
you get.
But I'm
point.
Just saying, super bug possible. Super bug, less likely than we all think. I mean, especially from the lab created situation.
Okay.
Like, you know how the T virus was a lab thing.
The T virus.
I'm going Resident Evil.
Oh, so you're
going
to say no to zombies, but video games.
So did we just go into video games here?
Yes, we did. Yes, we did.
Okay.
But like, you know how the T virus was made in a lab?
I sure do.
Yeah. Well,
wasn't that by Dr. Birkin? I believe.
Oh, very nice.
Thank you.
I just
wet your pants. I know.
In my mind, I went Dr. Merkin. Anyway,
Dr. Gherkin. Do you want to just play pubic boggle
wig.
For a while?
No, I just like pubic wigs.
Okay.
Wigs. Anyway,
good. Thanks.
That's
great.
Fine.
You're awesome,
welcome. Ladies. So.
Hey,
Hey, Merkin. Murica and Merkin are really way too close for me now. Anyway, if it happened in a lab, the scientists would know better, eradicate it. You'd have it contained. It wouldn't be a problem. But let's assume there's a superbug out there. Ebola. Oddly, I was just talking to my neighbor about this while
if
we were...
If you name drop one more person that I don't care about.
Who's a doctor, by the way?
Oh, okay. I know her. She's fine. Whatever.
Hi, Margaret.
Hi.
So, but we were talking about Ebola earlier today, oddly enough, because we were at the Allentown Fair and some people.
Well, duh. Duh. Yeah.
If you've been there this year, yeah.
Come to the
Allentown.
Come for the deals. Stay for the liquefied intestinal tract.
Ebola. Ebola.
That one was about as close as it's gotten. And if, you know, if you've read The Hot Zone.
That doesn't sound like something I would read.
It's gross. But, you know, it's possible to have an outbreak. It's possible that that would get out of control. But we're better prepared than you think. And if you need evidence of that, just look back last summer. Or was it the summer before already? I'm losing track of time here.
I don't know, but you keep saving the world instead of ending it.
When it was in Africa and it was really bad. I think it was two summers ago, right? In fact, the time person of the year was everybody. That was the Ebola fighters, right?
I don't know.
Anyway.
End the world.
I'm sorry. I can't. We're way too well prepared.
I mean, are such a non-bummer.
Isn't it amazing how upbeat I am? And I really fucking hate humanity as a general rule of thumb.
Yeah, well, you're giving it a lot of credit.
But unfortunately, there are smart people saving dumb people out there, and that's my biggest problem
so
with
what
humanity.
What would it take, though? It would have to be airborne, right? It would have to constantly be mutating, right?
Dave's nailing it. Yeah, because airborne.
Yeah, because he's being a pessimist.
Airborne
easily
spread, mutating for resistance. Go ahead. What else do you think it would need, guys?
Governmental red tape logjam in fixing it, right?
Oh, also, sure.
Some sort of flu, right? I mean, it would have to be.
It doesn't have to be. I mean, any X bug that causes.
Would it have to be a. It would have to be a virus, though, right?
Not necessarily. It could just be resistant bacteria.
Yeah, like Last of Us, right? It could be the cordyceps, a very fast-moving, transmitted through bites eventually, but spores, right? It could actually, hypothetically, be some kind of organism if it was, say, easily moved around, if it was an infection-type thing and spread rapidly and effectively, right?
Sure.
Could be spores.
Could be. Or...
Or a sterilizing.
I was just about
infection.
To quote George Carlin and say, oh man, viruses are tricky. Viruses, yeah, what if we had some kind of virus that would stop humans from engaging in the reproductive act?
Yeah, of course.
And that's from George Carlin's Jammin' in New York.
Yeah, yeah. Okay, so.
That's a poetic note.
Let me
and
cut,
I can dream, can't
let
I?
Let me cut straight to the quick then. Phil.
Ow.
How's the world going to end? How are we all going to die? Not how is the Earth going to end, because we know the sun eventually will change. How is humanity likely to all die?
Not with a bang, but with a windmill full of corpses.
Yeah, How is humanity going to die?
My money? Still on nuclear warfare. Like, I just feel like...
Really? Because you are a real bummer about that, too.
I know, but I just feel like the likelihood of that happening versus a super bug that can't be contained...
Yeah, but I'm just saying.
A little higher. Well, I just answered.
Dream your dreams. It's nuclear war.
Blowing us the fuck up.
Nuclear war.
Wait, don't you think that the climate just becoming uninhabitable based on, you know, our actions is more likely than
I don't
a nuclear
think
holocaust?
I don't think we're going to get that far.
Hold on then. So you're
that's the only reason I'm not betting on climate change.
So within several hundred years you're thinking that nuclear exchange wipes humanity out.
Unless, you know, President Hayes can get that SEAL team in there.
She will be ready. I just have to give her time to grow up. But okay, so Dave, what do you think? How does humanity die?
Yeah, I think it's climate change. I think we're going to eventually get to that point where we're going to be like, let's abandon the planet. You know, we're going to have to try to find
Wally solutions.
Yeah, something like that.
Super fucked.
I don't know. Something. I grew up in this really Catholic family, especially my grandmother.
She
convinced me that biblically, whatever, we're all going to die by the year 3000, maybe on the year 3000. But she also believed that Mary had her own planet.
And the seas boiled and the skies fell.
Yeah, you know, but I remember thinking that. I just sort of took it as a given that the world is going to end somewhere around the year 3000. I don't now, but now I'm thinking it would be kind of a stretch to get there. But I call me the optimist on this. I kind of feel like humanity isn't going to end so much as sort of spread out and maybe take to the stars and all that, but we won't be recognizable. I think we're going to sort of evolve out of it. I think we won't be like this anymore. And I don't even think we'll be on this planet, but I think human ingenuity will bring us somewhere that will be so different that humanity will have changed. But as far as Earth humans go, maybe. But I feel like the future for us is being different.
You big bearded optimist, you.
And that's a podcast for another podcast, right?
Exactly. So I think that's a pretty good discussion on world-ending events and Phil batting down all of Dave's and my efforts to make things sound bleak.
Hey, I've tried my best. Like I said, disclaimer again, not a nuclear physicist.
Humans are just pesky survivors, aren't we? So we'll take a quick break, and then we will be back with a palate cleanser. Because if there's anything that you need to get the taste of out of your mouth,
it's Armageddon.
It's the death of all humanity. We'll be right back. Don't go far, because we don't have that much time left. We'll be right back. Hey, everybody. It is Sean from The Whip Around inviting you to reach out to us at thewhiparound@gmail.com. Send your ideas, send your thoughts, send your bank account information to thewhiparound@gmail.com. Save up. All right, and we are back from break, and I hope you are too. Otherwise, you better come running in from the bathroom, unless you're in your car.
Don't come.
Don't come running out from
the fact that you left your car to go to the bathroom.
Why do you have a bathroom in your car?
I was just thinking. I'm glad they got out to pee rather than peeing in their car.
Boy, are you some kind of freak? But speaking of Italians, how about that segue, huh?
Hey.
Let's do a little round of palate cleansing goodness to shift us, to get us into a better, hopeful mood, something. It's time for What Made Dave Angry This Week? Hi, Dave.
What's up, guys? Hi.
What's got you right. angry, Dave?
So I went away this weekend. We went, as we say in these parts, down the shore.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
And the thing that pisses me off is when you forget to pack something when you go on vacation. And it's always – so here, for example, yeah. mm-hmm. I forgot to pack a belt, right?
Oh, yeah.
So okay. – and it's
Dave
like –
having a serious case of plumber's crack.
Where do you go to get a belt if you're like not near a Kohl's? Or you know, a mall or something like that. So you're at the shore. Mm. You're in a shore town. You don't have a belt, and you're going out in an hour. What do you do? What do you do? What do you do? So
hardware
my
store.
Wife is like, go to the boutique store that's just around the corner. And so I walk. Because you can't drive there because there's no place to park there. And then when you get back, your parking space is now gone. So I go into this little boutique store and they have, you know, a minuscule selection. And there's one little rack of men's belts. They are $60 belts. Okay. And she immediately looks at me and I said, you know, hey, I need a belt. She says, oh, she doesn't suggest her belts to me because she knows that I am not of the caliber person that buys this type of belt in her store. So she refers me to the sundries shop, another block.
Is that a thing?
Whoa. So that's
can
another
back that up?
Another store. So you're not boutique enough.
Yeah, she wanted me out of her store. She didn't want my money. So I take her suggestion because
that is your belt situation.
Okay. So I go over there, they're out. So I have to go back, right?
They're out? Wait. Hold up. The sundries store.
They're out of belts.
Out of belts?
Out of belts.
So
they sell like flip-flops and some clothes and stuff like that. He said, yeah, we don't have any belts.
So it sounds like this is not just your problem if they're out of belts.
Well, I'm sure they get like 10 belts at the beginning of summer and they're not reordering them on Labor Day weekend.
Right. They're bridge and tunnel belts.
Yeah. So I had to go back. And then the other thing is like, I am not a svelte person. I mean, I'm not like morbidly obese, but like I am of like above average waist size, I would say.
So you're not a lean man.
Dave's comportment is.
These stores, all they have are like really tiny belts. So they had one belt my size and it had fish on it. Okay.
Wait, Like actual fish?
Are they like embossed or sort of like burned into the leather? Is it like they're like little seashells?
So the belt is blue. The belt is blue.
Already a winner.
And it has swordfish on the belt.
But now, right? How are they on there?
It's like pictures of fish.
So it's like printed.
Okay.
Of fish, like swordfish, tuna fish, swordfish, tuna fish.
Was the buckle a big mouth Billy Bass?
No. So, this is like a trendy belt. Like,
what's the price tag?
I don't think it's trendy at all.
What's the price tag on this belt, Dave?
It's $60.
Get out.
All right.
So I buy the belt, right? Now, I am a left-handed person. Are either of you left-handed?
We
are all southpaws. Oh,
welcome to the left-handed whip around.
Three guys, three different perspectives. We're so very different.
Three non-fives, all written
by the same hand.
Right.
So when you thread your belt through your belt loops, mm-hmm. do you start going to the right?
No, I go to the left.
I'm going counterclockwise, right? I'm going.
Yes,
I'm going
I go counterclockwise around my torso.
Toward my left hand.
Yes.
Oh, so you thread it to the left first.
You go to the right?
Yeah. I guess
you're not a real lefty.
Yeah, you're betraying us, man.
Well, I guess this is the way everybody does it, because when I threaded the belt through my right, mm-hmm. All the fish were upside down.
So this is a right-handed belt.
Yeah, Dave has found a righty belt.
So let me tell you my thought process, right? Have you ever put on like a women's shirt unknowingly?
Yes.
And it buttons the opposite way that your shirt buttons.
As someone who cosplays, you have to use women's clothes for certain things, and it's really weird when you have to button with the opposite hand.
Unknowingly, no.
Intentionally,
okay. I'm totally kidding.
Intentionally, yes.
Move off of this as quickly. So my first thought was, I just bought a women's belt, because I thought that was maybe how girls' belts work. They thread to their right.
You know what?
I was wrong.
Do they? I don't know.
I don't know.
So anyway, that's the end of the story.
$60 girl belt.
To pack something on vacation. I spent $60 on a belt that I'll probably never wear again. It's probably slightly too small for me. And
where's the belt? Where's the belt, Dave?
It's in my room.
Let's pause the podcast for one second. I need to see the belt, and we need to get a photo of it so that
we
can
put
it
up on the website.
Absolutely. Hold on, Dave.
We should auction the belt
get
off.
That.
Play the Going to Find Something music.
We will, right here.
Dave is going to fetch the belt. It will take him forever because he walks like Torgo. Dave is fetching the belt while the master is away.
According to this clip, he only has 8.5 minutes left to get it.
Jesus. That's astonishing that it's going to take that. Is he coming back?
Sorry, I got lost in my mansion.
So
was your belt in the fallout shelter?
Oh, wow.
There's the belt.
Let me come
around. There's the belt.
That's kind of nice.
I gotta come around.
Yeah, Phil needs to come around and see.
I'll get it up a little closer so you can see the belt.
Oh, damn.
Swordfish, tuna fish.
I gotta kind of be honest. I kind of like that belt.
You know, it's not the worst belt I've ever seen.
No, it's kind of a nice belt.
The lady's like, it's a good belt. It's going to last you a long time.
I think I know. I can picture this person. What's the size belt?
So this is a 38.
Okay.
But it wears like a 36.
Ooh. Okay.
You know. So I am a 38, so it didn't have there wasn't like a lot of room for.
Wait, are we the same pant size? We're not the same shape person.
Well, you're a lot taller than me, right?
Somewhat.
Yeah.
But I will say, in the restroom at the bar.
Okay. You got approached
about the urinal next to me.
No.
I swear to God.
No.
He's like, that's a nice belt.
And you have. That's a winner right there. I can't hit the bell enough for that.
That's a nice belt.
Oh, man.
Okay.
Wow. Oh, boy.
I have no idea what would ever top that. So we're gonna take
ending
a,
the show. Now.
We're gonna take a break. In which case, we try to gather our thoughts. Everybody out there, take a breather. Smoke them if you got them. Say something nice to the person next to you at the urinal this time, and we'll be right back
on the whip around. Phil from the Whip Around, and you're listening to us right now on all kinds of different devices, but you know what we would love for you to do? Rate us on iTunes. You know what that's going to do for us? Number one, it's going to make us happy. Number two, you're going to feel happy for making us happy. And number three, it's going to help us get in other people's ears, and we would love to get in other people's ears. So please, rate us on iTunes.
Welcome back to the Whip Around. It is now time for the Whip Around, in which everyone has 30 seconds to bring up something we missed, something we forgot, something that didn't fit with our theme, but is just burning a hole in their brain. And again, what you will hear is someone go on a tangent, and then after 30 seconds, the bell will ring. Their time is up. It moves to the next person. And basically, we go until everybody's brains are bled dry and screaming. So today, who would like to kick things off? Phil, Dave?
Why not you?
We'll go with me then. All right, here I go. So I would like to know why boys and girls departments in clothing stores, like I don't mean men and women, I mean boys and girls, are sectioned off into boys and girls sections.
It's because of the belt.
I just don't like it. I don't like the idea that, like, well, okay, here are your girl stuff, here is your spangled stuff, here's your pink stuff, here's your spangled and pink stuff, right? And boys have, okay, here's your camo, here's your blue, here's all your stuff. Why can't kids just wear what they like and find out who they are? It doesn't mean every kid has to be, like, transgender or whatever, but give them a choice without telling them what they're supposed to like and what color aligns with them.
Somebody went back to school shopping this week. Dave.
All right. So we talked last week about the SNES Classic pre-orders launching and what a debacle that was. GameStop came out this week claiming that their bundles are more convenient to customers because they're packaging the SNES Classic with stuff consumers want to buy anyway.
No,
it's total
don't.
Bullshit. It's total money grab, and GameStop is the devil incarnate.
Okay, I got one this week. Science news. Asteroid Florence whizzed by the Earth. And by whizzed by the Earth, I mean it was 4.4 million miles away, which is way further away than the moon. But it's one of those close near-Earth objects that you might run into by chance at some point. Whizzed by 7 million kilometers, for those of you in the metric system. It will make other passes at us, but I just want to bring that time up. Just want to bring it up because, hey, we really should fund NASA just because, hey... We could use the money to prevent disaster. Go!
So, I'm noticing a serious drop-off in the use of the word R, A-R-E, right? The plural form of B, okay? The plural, what we have here is the plural form of is, okay? So, is present tense, third person, singular of B. R is the same thing, but plural. They're not the same. So, if somebody is going to tell me that there is bananas at their house, it's bullshit. If you're going to try to tell me that there's tons of options, fuck that. Are you in the present tense? Fine, it's is. It's R if it's plural. Do you get what I'm saying?
All right, I'm going to keep up a video game theme here that I have going on. Did you know that Mario is no longer a plumber?
I read that. I read the headline.
According to a Kotaku article here, Mario's newly updated official Japanese language profile states he is, quote, all around sporty, whether it's tennis or baseball, soccer or car racing. He does everything cool. As a matter of fact, he also seems to have worked as a plumber a long time ago.
What a bunch of dicks.
I was going to say something, but I'm... thrown off completely. Thanks.
Then pass, gotch.
I had to gather myself after that. Something else is coming up, if you believe in this kind of stupid thing. Somebody, I wanted the name and I don't have it, but that's okay, has predicted that the world will end because it's written on the pyramids. It will end on the 20th through 23rd of September. So that's ridiculous because nothing is written on the pyramids that indicates that kind of thing. But hey, if you believe in that kind of thing, you know, I'll watch your pets for you after you're gone. Bye.
Oh, and Earth, Wind, and Fire albums sell like hotcakes.
I want to know why Pennsylvania still has state stores for liquor. I don't understand it. I don't get who that benefits. Who actually benefits there? Is it people who don't like small businesses? Is it people who are like, no, no, I want the government to really control everything? Is it people? I don't understand that. I don't get it. We're one of, I think it's 8 states that does it. And I just wouldn't think that Pennsylvania, who voted Republican as shit lately, would be in favor of something where small businesses and entrepreneurs have fewer options and the government is more in their lives. I don't get that. Cut the shit and sell me some beer.
I have Google reviews of all of my state stores that are around me. Just
if any of them are like nice reviews, it's bullshit.
Okay. Recently, as I mentioned before, came back from some time at the shore, and I just want to say that arcades are total bullshit nowadays. They are no longer filled with video games and pinball machines. They're now these ticket generating. I don't. Games of chance.
Yep.
They look like kid arcades where you try to get like a million tickets and buy like a squirt gun out of the back thing. I was looking for Street Fighter. I was looking for Galaga. I was looking for Pac-Man. I was looking for Donkey Kong. I was looking for a bunch of pinball machines to play with my kids. You can't find any of it. All it is just crap carnival games.
It's also like Circus Circus. I have a complaint in general about traveling places. And when we talk about traveling places, I'll tell you this. I marked something on Facebook. I ended up, I was going somewhere. And you know what? Somebody said, well, doesn't that mean you're going to come and visit me, right? And you know what? No, fuck you. I like to go places, and it doesn't mean I have to visit you. And that's why I try and keep my travel plans private, because I don't want to be obligated to see other people if I want to get away. Fuck you. I'm doing my own thing.
I'm dry. Dave, anything?
I'm out.
Yeah.
Bill, is that our last note? That's awesome.
Do it for me.
That's great. Be like, I'm private. I don't want to see you. Thanks for watching the whip around. So from Phil and Dave and myself, I do want to say thank you to everybody for downloading. Remind you, of course, to go to iTunes, right, to rate us, to leave some feedback, and subscribe, please, to the show. We love you. We'll miss you.
Bye.
Bye. We love you. Thank you for checking out the whip around.
We'll miss you until you hear us again.
Yes. See you later. I love you. Bye. End the world.
I'm sorry, I can't. We're way too well prepared.